Well, good morning, everybody. I've got the signal from the back that we are we're ready to go. So you're all very welcome here this morning to Railway Street Presbyterian Church on this the 8th of September. So wherever you've come from and however you're joining us, you are very, very welcome here for our service of morning worship. I believe there may be some people joining us from the metropolis of West Belfast online, so if you are joining us, you're especially welcome. I'll let David speak to you in Irish. I wouldn't insult the Irish language by doing that. You will notice in a moment or two, I hope, that there's something slightly different with this projector. As you will know, those of you who are here regularly, the previous projector was rather sick, so it has gone to the projector hospital and hopefully will be returned. Pouring anointing oil on it wasn't a great success, so we'll get people who know what they're doing to have a look at that. And so bear with that. Hopefully it will keep working. But if anything does go wrong with it, don't all turn round and look at Neil at the back. He'll have worked out there's something wrong anyway. Very special, very personal, special word of welcome to the Reverend David Moore this morning. David and his wife Elaine and I were at university together in Aberdeen many, many years ago, and his career has gone one direction as mine has gone another. But David is our church's special worker in West Belfast, heading up the project there, and folk here know a little bit about that, given my connection with that part of the world. But David and Elaine, we are delighted to have you with us this morning, and we look forward very much to what you're going to share with us. I will not spoil the surprise of what that's going to be. I'll let David do that. After the service, everyone's welcome to come through to the link for tea, coffee, juice, etc. And then our first of our evening services will be at 6:30 this evening here in our church building. And we're going to be considering the last six verses of Acts chapter 2, and I'll be speaking at that. So if you're free this evening, you're more than welcome to come along to our evening service. During Michael's sabbatical, please contact me if you need the services of a minister, and I'll make those arrangements for you. And likewise, if you have any announcements, if you could get those to me by a Thursday evening, that would be a great help to me. But no, many, many thanks for folk who have been helping with that already. Now, you'll see in the pews this morning, and David may autograph these for you afterwards, because by wonderful coincidence, this is the United Appeal leaflet. As you know, our congregation doesn't have a United Appeal Sunday. We collect for United Appeal throughout the course of the year. And as a congregation, we've always exceeded our United Appeal target, and God willing, that will continue. But this gives you a bit more information on United Appeal. So again, thank you for your continued generosity to that mission of our church. And if you're relatively new to Railway Street, or relatively new to the Presbyterian Church of Ireland, and you want some more information on the United Appeal, then please just ask. There are still a small number of hard copies of the September-October bulletin, so if you haven't got yours, or yours hasn't been delivered as yet, if you could either lift one or let me know and we can get those to you. Boys Brigade meets at our normal times on Monday and Tuesday evening, and all boys of whatever age are welcome to come along to that. Likewise, Girls Brigade meets on Thursday evening at the normal times, and all girls are welcome. If you need more details of that or want to know what normal times are, those are in the bulletin. But again, if you're stuck or confused, please just ask. On Wednesday, Link Up meets between 10 and 12 in the link, and again, everyone's welcome. Discipleship groups are going to restart later this month, but we're going to say a wee bit more about that next Sunday, so hold that thought. Bible Discovery will recommence in the Link and Minor Hall on Thursday week. So that's not this Thursday, but a week on Thursday at 10:45, with coffee available from 10:30. And again, everyone is welcome to come along to that. Now, the services next Sunday, our morning service at 10:30, will be conducted by the very Reverend Dr. John Dixon. John is no stranger to us here in Railway Street. He's originally from County Monaghan and is best known in these parts as Edith Douglas's cousin. So John will be here to conduct morning worship next Sunday. And then our evening service will be conducted by Graham Reid, who is the assistant in Elmwood. Now, Hannah has a quick announcement she wants to make for us. Ignore anything that I am doing. Just listen to Hannah.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your prayers and encouragement for our children and young people over the summer. There were lots of highlights for them with Ganaway and Exodus teams and holidays. Please, church family, if you see any young people around, please do catch them and ask them about those things. This morning, I just wanted to let you know what is happening in our children and youth programs this term so that you can continue to pray for them and encourage them and their leaders. Beginners and Kids Church start back their regular program this morning, and up until Christmas, they will be working through the books of 1 and 2 Kings, seeing how God is the one true God, that his word can be trusted, and how all of those stories point us forward to Jesus, who fulfills all God's promises. Junior and senior youth this term will be enjoying the book of Revelation and the letters to the seven churches at the beginning of the book. Please pray for us as we think of God's eternal plan, that we would be challenged and hear the warnings of those letters, and that it would encourage us and our young people to persevere in knowing that Jesus has already won. So thank you so much for your prayers, and please do chat to our children and young people on a Sunday morning after the service and hear from them about what God is teaching them and showing them from his word. Please do continue to pray for BB and GB, our GB and companies too. And practically, if you think you might be able to help with GB on a Thursday evening, we do need some more leaders across some of the sections. And if you think that you might be able to help with that in any way, please do speak to me or contact Hilary Milligan. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Stephen, and it's a real pleasure to be here. We feel at home already because we do remember being at university with Stephen years ago, and he hasn't changed a bit, actually. He's just exactly the same as he was. But we also know Hannah from years ago as well, because my wife's family belonged to Mersey Street, so we actually were at school with Hannah's dad as well. So I'm feeling very old, as well as anything else. But it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for your invitation. Well, we're here today, lots of things to celebrate. We're looking forward to cake and all of that. But we're here above all else that we might worship, praise, and glorify our God. And that's something that isn't just for us to do. It's for all the world to do. And our call to worship today comes from Psalm 67, a great missionary psalm. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Now, boys and girls, if you'd like to come and join me at the front, we'll have a wee chat together. Good morning. Nice to see you. Now, I wonder, do you know what that is? You have an idea what that is? It's a conker, right? It's last year's conker, so it's a wee bit wizened. It's not great, but it's a conker, that's right. And this time of year, when you're out walking about, you might begin to see conkers on the ground. In their shells, the green sort of prickly shells, and inside, you'll have a conker just like that. But what is a conker? What is it? It's a seed. Very, very important. A seed. And in this little tiny seed contains everything that will give you one day a great big tree. A massive big tree like you see in Wallace Park or somewhere like that. Huge big tree. It all starts with that tiny, tiny little seed. Now, why am I telling you that? I'm telling you because Jesus told us a story in the Bible about seeds that grow. So let me read it to you. It's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. Jesus told them another parable. That's a story that talks about the world around us but points us to something about God. The kingdom of heaven, he said, his rule, his reign, is like a mustard seed. Now, mustard seed's even smaller than that. Sometimes you might go and get a bap, and on top of the bap, you find these wee seeds. Wee tiny, tiny wee seeds. Sort of about that size. Very tiny wee seeds. a mustard seed that a man took and put in his field. And though it is the smallest of all seeds, Jesus said, when it grows, it becomes the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air can come and perch in its branches. Now tell me this. Do you think a bird could perch on that? No. What's a bird likely to do with that, actually? Might eat it. You couldn't sit on it. But when this thing goes in the ground, and by God's amazing power, it grows and grows and grows, and then gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it puts out branches and twigs and leaves. Birds come and make their nests in it. And they perch, which is they stand on the branches, and it all comes from such a tiny, tiny little seed. God's amazing, the way he works in nature. But there's another reason I want to tell you about this seed, because this seed is connected to what I do. Now, I'm a minister, and I work in a part of Belfast, only about 15 minutes from here, where there are no Presbyterian churches. None at all. How many Presbyterian churches are there in Lisburn? Seems like about 24, but six. Okay, there are lots and lots of Presbyterian churches. You could go any direction from this church and trip over. You could trip over a Presbyterian church, but not where I am. So my part of Belfast is like a great big field with no, and if you're looking for a Presbyterian tree, you can't find one. So where do you start? Where do trees start from? A wee seed. And God has put a wee seed into West Belfast. And you know how many people are part of this little seed church? Can you guess how many? 50, 60. I like that. I would love that to be the case. But can I tell you there are four? Okay. So there's my wife and I. And there's two other workers. And there are four of us. But last Sunday we had 30, so it's quite near your number. But God has put us as a little tiny seed there, and we hope we'll grow. And we'll grow maybe to six, as many as you have on the front pew. And then maybe to 30 regularly. And then maybe 60, as you're saying. And then maybe as many people are in here. And maybe more, who knows. But the seed goes in the ground. Who makes it grow? Is it the farmer? Who makes the seed grow in the ground? God makes it grow. So we're there in West Belfast, and we're hoping it's going to grow, but you know who's the only one who can make it grow? God. And how could you help me? Now, you don't need to come over to West Belfast to do this with me. You're all right. You can stay where you are. But you know where you are? You know how you can help me? You can pray. Yeah? Is that what you're going to say? Good man. Good man. That's right. Because it's God who makes it grow. And here in Lisburn, you can be praying to God. God, would you take that tiny little seed, those four people that are planted there in West Belfast, would you make it grow? Would you make it grow and make it grow so that the birds of the air, that could be another way of saying, so lots of people who live there will come and find out more about Jesus and come to love and follow him the way we do here in Railway Street over there in West Belfast. So on your way out today, there's a wee card, a wee prayer card. And if you'd like to pick up one of those and ask your mum or dad or granny, whoever brought you, could we pray for that guy who's planting a seed over there? The guy with the conker. Remember the guy with the conker? Let's pray for him and let's pray for that church. Okay, let's pray before we go any further. Lord, thank you that you've planted a church here in Lisburn and Railway Street. Would you bless it and make it grow? Pray for the little seed in West Belfast too, Lord. Make it grow. And may many come to know and follow Jesus there, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Okay, great. Thanks very much for listening. Now, what happens next? It says here, kids leave. Is that right? Is that right? Okay. I'm sorry, you've got to go. We don't sing or anything. You just go straight out. Okay, all right. Well, listen, thanks for helping me. Remember, pray for the conquer guy. Okay, great. Okay. And as you go, we pray. Is that right? Is that also right, Stephen? Yes? Okay, right. Thanks, everybody. Well, I want to thank Michael. I know Michael's not here, but you may see this later. I want to thank Michael for his invitation to be here today. I've got to know him over the years through our attendance at a conference that we go to regularly in Scotland, and I'm very grateful to be here to share with you something of the work that we're doing in West Belfast, and to say that we couldn't do it without you, because what we do reflects the fact that we have strength together as members of the PCI. As we walk down the Falls Road, you walk with us. You mightn't be there in person, but you go with us. You go with us, as we were saying, to the kids, as you pray, but also as you support the United Appeal. It's rather embarrassing, I'm afraid, that I'm on the front of that thing. I really didn't want that to be the case, but there you are. I'm on the front of that leaflet today. And if you give to that, we want to say thank you for supporting the work that we do. What we do and where we've been placed to do it is a reminder of how remarkable and exciting it is to follow God. Who would have thought someone would be trying to plant a church, a Presbyterian church, on the Falls Road? I went to one of the local GAA chairmen, and I was talking to him about what we were doing. He went home to his wife, and she said, "Who'd you meet today?" He said, "I met this guy. He's trying to plant a Presbyterian church in the Falls Road. He needs his head seen to." And I saw him a few months later, and I said, "Look, I'm no better. It's just the very same, still trying to do the same thing." Who would have thought God knows what he is doing and what adventures it is, the most exciting thing in the world to be a Christian. You don't know where God is going to lead you, where he's going to guide you. Well, Elaine, who's here today, sitting beside Hannah there, we began working together in West Belfast exactly 2 years ago, September 2022. We have a little core team, the four of us: Tony Bassett, a community outreach worker supported by CMI, who works with Elaine mainly with refugees in the area, and Andrew Thompson, not the Andrew Thompson of Elmwood, but his nephew, actually. Andrew, who's our tech advisor, and later on I'll show you that we're on Facebook and Instagram as well, and we're only on there because of him. The rest of us are too old to understand what those things are, but he can do it, which is great. That's our little four, that's our little seed, that's our little core group, planted like a mustard seed in the soil of West Belfast, and we're praying and we're saying to you, would you please pray that this seed would grow? Well, I want to say something about that work, but I want to begin by focusing our thoughts on this passage in Matthew chapter 9. And it's a passage I continually come back to thinking about our work. I want to think what it meant in its original context. Then I want to think what it means for us in the West. And then perhaps to suggest how you might like to think about it here in Lisburn. Well, if you look at the passage there, Matthew is telling us about Jesus' ministry through the villages and towns of Galilee, announcing the kingdom of God in word and deed, verse 35. And as he goes on this particular ministry journey, we're going to see four simple things that Jesus says or does. And they are so simple, you'd wonder how on earth anybody would spend their time coming up with them. You could see them, anybody could see them, but they're there. It's worth looking to gather them. The first thing is, verse 36, what did he do? He saw. Jesus looked up and he saw. And you might think, well, that's not very important. Well, let me tell you this. There are many Christians and many churches across the country, and they are not looking up and they are not seeing. They are looking inwards, and therefore they are dying. The church of Jesus Christ looks outwards and sees the situation in the world. And when Jesus looks up, he sees a crowd of people who are harassed and helpless. Now, that suggests two things to us, I think. Not only does Jesus know our physical conditions and needs, he knows our emotional and spiritual condition too. And for one thing, that is very reassuring. When you don't even know how you're feeling yourself, you hardly know how to put it into words, Jesus knows and understands that. We have a God who knows and understands us. That's a wonderful thing. But the second thing is, you can't hide anything from him. You can't bluff him. You can't hide your internet search history from him. He knows everything. He knows everything about us. So it's both comforting and challenging at the very same time. Jesus looks up and he sees. Second thing is that Jesus felt. Look at verse 36 again. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Because it's one thing to see and even to know. To know the kind of people that you're seeing and to understand them even. But it's a very different thing to feel compassion towards them. You can look out at a group of people and say, yes, I know who they are. Yeah, I know something about them. I understand how they think. I understand how they work. But you know, I couldn't give two hoots about them. Not so with Jesus. He has compassion. He feels for them exactly as they were, harassed and helpless. The great thing this shows us about Jesus is that he is not indifferent. He is not unmoved by human plight. His heart went out to them. He felt for them as they were, spiritually, like sheep without a shepherd. And that's understandable to us because all the way through the Bible, you have this image of the shepherd coming up again and again and again. Many of the famous leaders of the children of Israel were shepherds themselves, David, Moses, and others. And that picture is used to describe God and his relationship to his people. Famously, Psalm 23, of course, but many other portions of Scripture as well. Try and put yourself in the position of a sheep without a shepherd. Imagine yourself a sheep without a shepherd. Now, there may be people here who know more about sheep than I do. That wouldn't be difficult. But you can correct me afterwards if I'm wrong. But a sheep without a shepherd is a problem waiting to happen. They're particularly in the time that Jesus was living, exposed to the dangers of wild animals. For us, it just might be a dog or something like that. There it was, were lions and bears. You remember David said that he fought lions and bears. They're prone to be scattered. If you go up beside a group of sheep and give it a big noise like that, they go and all kinds of different directions, and you're all day trying to get them out of the hedge and back in again. And they're very prone to be injured and get themselves in all sorts of awkward positions. They fall in the shuck and they can't get out again. They fall on their back and they can't get up again. Sheep need a shepherd. And yet these crowds had no shepherd. They didn't know where to turn. They were harassed and helpless. They didn't know spiritually their right hand from their left. And that's still how people are today, outside of Christ. And if you're here today, outside of Christ, little wonder that there's this sense within you, what does life mean? Where is life going? Where am I going? What's my purpose? How do I make my decisions? Why things always seem to work out the way they do? If Christ is not yet your shepherd, then you are harassed and helpless and lost without him. And he has come to rescue you. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to say, here is the one whose rod and staff comfort me, who watches over me. He leads me by still waters. He leads me to green pastures because he cares for us. The compassion of Jesus is overwhelming. Sometimes people have in their mind all kinds of strange views of who Jesus is. I wonder, have you seen him as a shepherd of compassion and mercy and grace? That's who the Bible presents him to us as. And that compassion leads him to act. He didn't just speak about it, he did it when he gave himself in your place. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The most glorious and wonderful thing we can say is he has died and is risen again for me. Jesus looks at the crowds and he feels for them in that way. He feels for us in that way as well. That's why this message is good news. It's good news for you and it's good news for the crowds. So Jesus saw, Jesus felt, and then another very simple thing there in verse 37, what do we see? Jesus speaks, or he declares to his disciples. He has the disciples with him, he sees the crowds, he feels as he did, and Jesus is then moved to speak to his disciples with him. It would be easy to look at those crowds, harassed and helpless, and think, well, what can I do? What hope is there? What can we ever do? What change can come? But in the midst of that, Jesus saw a plentiful harvest. He didn't say, oh, this job's too big. These crowds are too far gone. There's only so few of us. He saw a great opportunity for the crowds to be gathered to himself and to enjoy all of the blessings of the kingdom of God. Now you'll notice that the picture here has changed from shepherding to tillage, as we'd say, the growing of crops. He sees them as sheep without a shepherd. Now he's thinking of a harvest. But imagine that a farmer had a bumper crop in the fields waiting to be harvested, only to discover there weren't enough people to help him. There was only him and the wee lad, and the tractor was broke. What were they going to do? How were they going to bring in this stuff? It seemed impossible. Jesus looks out at the crowds. He sees the great need. He sees the harvest is plentiful, but he sees the laborers are few. And his challenge is a challenge to his disciples, but also to us, to labor in his harvest field. Jesus saw, and Jesus felt, Jesus declared, and then fourthly, verse 38, he commanded. See how it begins, verse 30, ask, or some translation said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. We are to be up and about the work of gathering a harvest of souls amongst the harassed and helpless. And where do we begin? Well, if you and I were faced with a big challenge, what might we do? Well, we might call a project management team and we might sit down and try and work the problem. Some people might do that. Others might say, no, let me at it, roll up my sleeves and work very hard until they get exhausted. We're Presbyterians, we'd form a committee and we'd talk about it for a very long time. And maybe eventually we'd do something about it. What does Jesus say? Very simple, isn't it? Pray. 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 The crowds are too great in number. The issues they face are too complex and deep for you and I to solve on ourselves or even together. The need they have primarily is not for us anyway. They don't need more of us. They need more of him. They need our Savior. We need the mercy and grace of God poured out upon them in abundance. And only one person can do that, the God of glory. And so we pray, remembering it's his harvest and his harvest field, and he will send whom he wishes, where he wishes, when he wishes. The passage speaks to its original hearers. It was a challenge to the disciples. But how does it relate to what we do in West Belfast? Well, imagine Jesus looking out over West Belfast. Where do we mean by that? I put it simply, anywhere between the motorway and the mountain, as far as you can go on the glider, the big bendy bus, as far as the cuts from a city hall, maybe put it that way. What would he see? I'm sure he would not miss the fact that there are many sheep without a shepherd there, many who belong to the harvest he wishes to gather. The parliamentary constituency, give or take, these are slightly older figures, of West Belfast has a population of around 95,000 people. And by all measures of health, education, and employment, its incomes are some of the lowest in Northern Ireland. How would Jesus feel about that? Wouldn't he feel compassion for them? And wouldn't he feel compassion spiritually for many harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd? And yet for the last at least 30 years, Suffolk closed just over 30 years ago, but in reality much longer than that, the Presbyterian Church has had no presence at all in that area. And yet for all that time, there have been people who have been praying that an opportunity would arise, that the love and compassion and mercy and grace of the gospel of Jesus our Savior would come to that area, which, and we all know there are historical reasons, where we haven't been for so long. Jesus would see and feel. What would he declare and command? Well, he would say to us, the harvest is plentiful. You might say, well, oh, no, come on. You can't be serious. No, the harvest is plentiful, he'd say. And therefore, he would say, pray. Pray that the Lord would send out laborers into his harvest field. Samuel Zwemer was a man who devoted his life to sharing the gospel with Muslims in the Middle East, first in Bahrain and then in Egypt for about 40 years. He saw very few folk converted in that time, but he faithfully labored for 40 years. And he said this, the history of mission is the history of answered prayer. The history of mission is the history of answered prayer. And I believe that's true in West Belfast. Let me try and illustrate that for you. In 1971, the congregation of Albert Street closed. That's where Stephen was baptized. Nothing to do with him. But it closed in 1971, and it amalgamated with Argyle Place to form Westkirk on the Shankill Road. As the 50th anniversary of that event approached, people who had been praying already began to pray with all the more fervor that they may be able to somehow, and no one knew how, reach back over the wall and show love, the love of Christ, to the place they had left 50 years, half a century before. And as they were praying, lockdown happened. And we know what happened in lockdown. Nothing. Nothing happened during lockdown, except people continued to pray. And at the same time, quite independently, on the other side of town, Elaine and I began to feel drawn to this area and to pray that perhaps an impossible prayer, that somehow God might involve us in his work in that area. And then lockdown lifted. And amazingly, by the providence of God, and that's all we can say, this post that I fill is now created to present the gospel to the local community, to help people encounter the Lord Jesus Christ, be drawn to faith, trust him as Savior, and be built up as his disciples. And God willing, in turn, grow together into a community of Christians that may, in due season, become a congregation, a little seed that starts to grow and, God willing, becomes a big tree. And all of that, I believe, happened in the response to the prayers of God's people. And those prayers continue. And you can be part of that. I know some of you are already praying for us, and I thank you for that. And some of the answers to those prayers are amazing. I expected when we went there that we would be treated with suspicion and distance. I expected that as I walked up and down the road, they'd all see how close my eyes were together and decide, he's a prod, get rid of him. Not at all. Not at all. All that we have received has been the warmest and most gracious and welcoming acceptance into the community. And doors have opened in that community that we could not ever have expected. Our approach is to be open, to speak to anyone who wants to speak to us. And we have met many fascinating people I would never have met before. Many of them are engaged in community development. And it is remarkable to see how that community has grown and developed in the last 30 years. It is striking. And the great thing is they want us to be part of it. They want us to be there. The respect for PCI is very noticeable. Perhaps if you've ever been to Musgrave Park Hospital for your own hip or somebody else's hip you were visiting or an elbow or whatever, and you've come out of the hospital, come to the lights on Stockman's Lane there, and opposite you, you'll see a little cemetery. I think it's closed now, called Balmoral Cemetery. And perhaps you have come across a book that's been written on it by Tom Hartley. He's the former Sinn Féin Lord Mayor of Belfast. If you haven't got it, read it. It's fascinating. It is a remarkable role of honour and appreciation for the PCI in the development of Belfast. And Tom was speaking at an event in West Belfast 2 weeks, almost exactly 2 years ago now, since I took up my post. And after 10 minutes of praising the Presbyterian Church high up and low down, a eulogy about how great we were, if you and I had said it, they'd say, that guy's biased, get him out of here. He was saying it. After 10 minutes of that, he finished it like this. We need to get Presbyterians back on the Falls Road. Why? Because they're so much a part of us. And I was sitting to thinking to myself, did he just say that? Something wrong with my hearing. Did he say that? He did. And I said, Tom, you and I need a chat. And from that, I went to the people he sent me to and the people they sent me to and the people they sent me to try and get to know the community better. And I believe God has set before us an open door. So Much a Part of Us became the name of an exhibition we staged in August last year on the Falls Road about the history of Albert Street Church. Over 4 days, we had an average attendance of almost 100 people from all parts of Belfast, including West The exhibition allowed us to say, we used to be here, and now we're back. Not quite, we never went away, you know, but we're away, and we're back again, and we want to be part of things here. We ran it again this year in the health centre that is built on the footprint of where the old building was, and we had great engagement, not only from the staff, but also from the local community. Last year, building on the success of the exhibition, we began a weekly Bible study in an office on the corner of Broadway and the Falls Road, just opposite the Beehive Pub, if that's how you take your directions. Every Thursday night, we gather to study God's Word together. The numbers are small, but they're faithful and consistent. Please pray for that. Please pray also for a monthly worship service. We've begun on the first Sunday of the month. We had our first meeting last week, and if you would like a copy of our order of service with some of our contact details on it, they're at the front and they're also at the back. On those tables as well, there's our prayer card. I know some of you will have that. There's a way to contact me if you'd like to get our regular prayer updates. And there's a copy of this book, which, again, we didn't produce. They produced in the West Belfast area about welcoming Presbyterians back to the area. So there's a few chapters in that, one by Tom Hartley, one by myself, and one by Jim Stollers, who used to be Deputy Clerk of the General Assembly. Now, I should warn you, it's bilingual. If you have an issue with the Irish language, then you mightn't like this. But I worried about that when I went to Ballymena a few months ago with this, and I said that very thing to them, but I said, if it helps, they're free, and every copy went. So if it's good enough for Ballymena, it'll be good enough for Lisburn as well. We also have our Facebook and website and all that sort of stuff. Is there a wee sign? Yeah, so that's our website, Anchunalan. That name means a gathering place. And if you look up that on either anchunalan.com or on Facebook or on Instagram, you'll get details of what we do. I'm not on any of the social media, but I'm absolutely obsessed by the numbers, okay? So we're at 240 on Facebook. Help us make 250. That would be great. It's not quite the level of Taylor Swift, but, you know, it makes me happy. So if you'd like to do that. So that's about this passage, thinking about the original context, thinking about us in the West. Can I encourage you to think about here in Lisburn? I encourage you by saying, I was born in Lisburn. I only stayed about 5 days, actually, in the hospital and then left again. But we still have family here, so I feel for this place as well. Can I say to you, look at the world around you. Jesus saw, he looked up, he looked out. Can I say to you, do the same. Look at the city. Look at its needs. It's one of the most fastest growing areas in Northern Ireland, this whole Lagan Valley area. God's placed you in a wonderful day of opportunity. Look up, look out. See the people around you. We're too busy in the church looking in. We look at our statistics and they discourage us. Can I say to you, no harm to any accountants or anything like that in the room, don't look at the world through the eyes of a number cruncher. Look at the world through the eyes of faith. Seems like a bare, empty field, doesn't it? Jesus looked out at the crowds, saw them harassed and helpless with very great need. But Jesus said, you know what? Seeing this big, big harvest field, there is a group ready to be gathered, and it's plentiful. God is at work. God is doing all kinds of new and wonderful things. God can make a seed be planted in West Belfast. What can he not do in Lisburn? And if that's so, pray. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out workers into his harvest field. Pray for it in all kinds of different places. But pray for it here in Lisburn as well. But can I tell you, be careful. When you pray that, be very, very careful. Prayer should come with a health warning. You know, like they get on the cigarette packets. You should have great care when you pray like that. When you pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field, be careful. And I'll show you why. I'll show you because of my own situation. In June 21, there was a gathering of ministers in the Assembly Hall in Belfast. It was in the midst of COVID. And it was, I suppose, to try and encourage and help us. And it was addressed by the then moderator, Dr. David Bruce, of this presbytery. And he was speaking on these verses, these very verses we're looking at today. And he made 2 points that struck me forcibly. The first one was this. He said, when Jesus saw the crowds, Like sheep without a shepherd, he said, when Jesus seeks lost sheep, he sends shepherds. Now, we were all shepherds in that room, so it was a general point, but it did have a niggle with me. I did wonder about it, but his second point hit me directly. We had begun to have some interest in the west of Belfast, primarily through Elaine's work with refugees. And we'd begun to be praying about that area, that God would bless and work in that area. And in this passage, Jesus calls his disciples to pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into harvest, his harvest field. And in relation to that, David Bruce said this, consider you might be the answer to your own prayer. And it was as if I was forcibly pushed back into my seat. And I knew unmistakably God was calling me to hear and to act upon this. So be careful when you pray. It's dangerous. It could well be that God says, well, you see that thing you're praying about? I want you to do it. I want you to do it for me. And it could involve you in his harvest field next door, across the street, somewhere else in the city, some other part of the world. But it's exciting. Who will you see in the crowds of people that you rub shoulders with in Lisburn or wherever it is you live and work? How will you feel about them? Indifferent or full of compassion for them? Will you declare with Jesus that there is a harvest field here in Lisburn? And for whom will you pray? And possibly God will say to you, I want you to be the one to show my compassion to them. I want you to be the one to share my good news with them. I want you to be the one to be involved in this harvest of souls. Be open to it. I've been a minister for 30 years. I'm having the best fun of my life just now. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing that God has set before us. And what he will yet do, we do not know. But it's a great thing. And there is nothing more exciting in all the world to be involved in the harvest of the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ. I commend it to you. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you. We thank you that you have set this church in this place, and you have spoken this word to us today. Lord, whatever it is you have for us to hear, would you help us to hear and to respond in faith and obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to conclude our service singing a hymn that encourages us to be involved in the work that God calls us to, facing a task unfinished. Pray. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.